We are live. Let me do the intro as I do every week, and you guys shall wait. Here we go. Let me hear you scream. It's Rat Sound Review right here live on YouTube. What's up, Lou?
Doing all right. So I got to ask you, did you manage to hunt a buck or a doe today?
I'm surprised
What the
you can
hell are you
actually.
wearing camouflage for?
Can you actually see me?
can I actually see you? I don't know. You didn't use enough vanishing cream. It
Do
worked in the Warner Brothers cartoons.
you... Am I just a floating head on the screen? I blend in so
Yeah.
well with the background, right? I should get a t-shirt of my background made and wear that, and then it would look like I'm in the background, you know.
You blend better with that really hideous black wig you wore a couple of months ago.
Oh, this one?
Oh, you still have it? Oh,
No,
God.
it's here somewhere, but I can't find it. But I found
It's
these.
Wayne's Lizzie boarded. What in the bloody? All right, perfect.
I did
You're
find
wearing
these.
camouflage. Might as well wear the reindeer ears.
And I still have to tag on for some reason, but you can't really
Oh,
use
you
them.
plan on returning it?
After the holiday season's over, I'm gonna return this.
Holidays are over. I don't want it. Why are you returning it for spite? Anyway.
Now I feel like Mandeer.
Nah, hey, there's only
What?
one man deer.
There is only, well, that could be one of his offsprings.
If man deer gave birth to you, I feel sorry for man deer.
Speaking of Mandeer, they do have a show coming up. Hold on a second. Let me see if I can find that. I was looking up before. Where'd it go? If nobody knows what I'm talking about, Mandeer, he is from the band Frostbite BC. He's been on the show. Actually, the whole band was on the show. Were you on when we did that episode?
I have yet to meet the great man deer, but he has been very responsive to my social media posts. So
Okay.
thank you, man deer.
But yeah,
And he does our intro music. That
he
is
does.
Frostbite BC you hear in the beginning.
That is Saturday, December 9th, the semi-annual Frostbite BC Holiday Spectacular with special guest 8 Foot Manchild.
Eight Foot
$20.
Man Child. Is that a band or a thing?
That is a band. $20
A
APM,
six
all
foot
ages.
man eating chicken. Coming your way. Sorry, go ahead.
Recording live from SATV, Salem Access Television. So that's going to be
Very
285
cool.
Derby Street, Salem, Massachusetts. So December 9th. Get your tickets. I know they're selling out pretty quick, actually. They do put on a really, really good show. I wish I had lived closer because I would like to check them out. They're
That
very
would be
funny.
cool. If they ever come to New York, hopefully we'll check them out. But I know who is coming to New York in March 30th to be exact.
Who's that?
That would be our dear friend Jimmy Waldo and his band Alcatraz on
Oh.
tour with Girls School on their last US run. They'll be coming to the Gramercy Theater.
Oh, wow, that
Your
feels
old
old, man.
stomping grounds, Wayne.
My last show ever at the Gramercy Theater.
That was the last show you ever played was at the Gramercy Theater.
Was it. That was like, what, 2004?
11.
It was 2011. Okay, that's a lot long.
2004, you were
Long
still playing Tipperary Arms on Northern Boulevard in Queens, New York.
ago.
I know because I was there.
But,
Me and
damn.
Zena were the only two in the audience.
Oh,
And
wow. But it was a packed show.
it was a packed show. Actually, I met one of the members of Sworn Enemy that night. So that was pretty cool.
That's funny because now you are my sworn enemy.
I'm also your guitarist and your co-host, so sue me.
But
But
speaking of
I.
Alcatraz, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I think it's
I
great
confused
Alcatraz has come to New York because I don't think they've been here since 1984 when they played the Piers when Yngwie was still in the band. So this is great.
That's pretty cool. They probably threw Yngwie off the piers. Speaking of Alcatraz,
Would he have floated? No, sorry.
probably.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Don't like donuts.
Is that
Go
a fat
ahead.
joke? That was a fat joke, wasn't
No. I'm sorry, Yngwie. It was a joke.
it? That's terrible.
I
But
know.
speaking of Alcatraz, I have a whole bunch of shit
Ooh.
that I've bought, and you got some stuff too over the last couple of weeks or whatever. And from Heavy Metal Museum, I pretty much bought the whole discography of Alcatraz, the new album there.
All right.
And I don't know what the names of these albums are. I can't even see them.
That's Dangerous Games with Danny Johnson on guitar.
Yeah. Born Innocent.
That is their return album with Joe Stump on guitar. It's a great album.
Yeah. Disturbing the Peace.
With Steve Vai on guitar. Another great album.
No Pro from Rock and Roll.
One of the greatest debut albums ever and one of my personal favorites.
And this has bonus tracks on it too. It's got demos and stuff. Number five.
Or V. I forgot what Jimmy said that one's called, but that is the debut with Doogie White on vocals. So excellent. You have the entire studio discography of Alcatraz. I do recommend checking out Live Sentence as well. That's a good one.
I was thinking about it, but we'll see. Oh, we got people in the chat. Oh, it's you. Oh. But Catman is here. Boys.
Hey, Catman, what's up?
Those intro puppets are so grotesque. Yes, they are.
We know.
He enjoys those screams from the grave reviews. I enjoy digging into technical jargon when... You know what it is? They put this stupid heart thing, like these emojis, right in the middle of the chat, and I can't see what people are writing.
Yeah, let me see if I lift it up, but it makes a difference. I enjoy these screams from the grave reviews. I enjoy digging into technical jargon when it comes to music. I didn't think we were talking technical jargon.
I don't know.
On those episodes. Catman, what exactly do you mean by the technical jargon? Type that in the chat, please.
I try not to.
And we'll read your response. But we did three episodes of Screams from the Grave recently, added to the Cutty Sark and Mama's Boys we did the previous month. We did Entrance from the Scorpions and Van Halen's Fair Warning, which I can't believe we're almost at 700 views for that episode. Thank you to everybody who watched it.
Really?
And my favorite Black Sabbath album, Sabotage. Why did we pick these three? Because we feel that they're three of the most overlooked CDs in those bands' respective catalogs. So that was the only reason why. That's the whole purpose of Screams of the Graves, to talk about albums that time has forgotten.
Yes, pretty much. Oh, I did. Yeah, wow. That's good. 770.
Yes.
And that's
great. We're already at over 700 on it.
707.
Holy shit.
Now, why would that one go
50 more
so high
views
like
in the last hour?
Why would that one go up?
I don't know what we did differently on that episode. Maybe it was the Sammy bashing. I don't know.
It could be. What about that whole thing? Sammy Hagar says, oh, he invites everybody to come on down. And David Lee Roth says, let's do it. And then Sammy Hagar backs out.
Not you. I think it's just, it goes further to prove that Sammy Hagar is a disingenuous piece of crap. I read his book. My friend Ben Lee went to the autograph signing and got me a book, because this is before I hated Sammy, before I hated him as a singer and a songwriter. Well, I never liked him as a singer, as a songwriter, but now I just like him intensely as a human being.
Yeah.
And, you know, just for him to expose Eddie's weakest points like that in his book, I don't think that was his story to tell.
No.
And, you know, he did a lot of cheap shots at Dave. He did a lot of cheap shots at Eddie. You know, he always kind of made himself out to be the victim in every situation, which I don't buy it for a second. And, you know, people have this. People say that he's one of the nicest guys in rock. Well, you know, the same could be said about John Mellencamp, but people that have worked for him say what an asshole he is.
Really?
So, God, yeah. Like, Kenny Aronoff, the drummer for John Mellencamp, you know, he was his drummer for like 20 plus years, and said that John would go nuts, you know, like lose his temper at the drop of a hat.
Mm.
So I don't believe that Sammy is the nicest guy in rock, because it's like, once you go against him, it's like you're dead to him. And it's just, look, I'm not going to deny that Van Halen had four number one albums. They had more singles chart on the Billboard Top 200 when he was singer. But that's pop, not rock.
Yeah.
Okay? So, you know, when you're catering to rock fans, you're catering to the loud, rowdy crowd. When you're catering to pop fans, you're catering to soccer mom Karens. Now, who would I? Now, personally, I wish Severn Angel, CD available at severnangel.com, would cater to everybody who listens to it. But I could deal without the Karens. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, I don't want anyone coming up to us. I don't want anyone coming up to me asking me, I want to speak to your manager. First of all, we don't have a manager. And we're self-managed. But the point is, you know, they were a pop rock band with Sammy, not a straight ahead, good old time rock band with Dave. And, you know, the biggest point of contention I have is when he states some crap that Van Halen was more successful, meaning that they sold more records, which is a complete and utter lie. Because if you add up the four albums, total sales, Van Halen won in 1984, both outsold that entire discography. So Sammy's full of shit. And, you know, he said, fuck you, Eddie Van Halen, when Eddie said that he had to teach Mike to play all of his bass lines. Meanwhile, Sammy said it in his book that Eddie had to teach Mike all of his bass lines, and accuses him of being a liar once he says that. And the biggest load of crap, and I love Joe Satriani. Joe, if you're watching, I think you're a phenomenal guitar player. Love you. But, you know, when Chickenfoot first formed, he said these words: I got a guitarist who's better than Eddie Van Halen.
Yeah.
Okay, that's your opinion.
Ooh,
you could prefer Joe Satriani to Eddie, but it doesn't mean that he's better than Eddie.
Yeah. He can't even play Eddie's songs. He just proved that a few weeks ago.
Look, in his defense, Mean Street is not one of the easiest things to play, and I praise anyone that could do it. I can't play it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
I'm not a guitar player.
But, right. But but he was kind of put on the spot by Sammy to do
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sammy wants to say, fuck you, Eddie Van Halen. I say, fuck you, Sammy Hagar. There, I think it's a fair trade.
Well, he watches this show and he probably just unsubscribed now.
Big deal.
Catman said, okay, not technical jargon, but maybe Lou adds some interesting information and musical knowledge.
Oh, you're giving me too much credit, but thank you, Catman. But I love what Dead Dude 2569 says. Sammy's a tosser. I think he's from the UK, if he called him a tosser.
I think so too. But yeah, he is. I can't believe that, man. He's just, that guy just spews up so much bullshit out of his mouth. It's insane. I really never paid much attention to him until, like, Ralph and all his, you know, people on his Almost Human page and everything, you know, talk about him so much. And then I'm finding out that he just doesn't shut up, and he comes up with so many bullshit stories. It's insane. It's just like, why are you doing that? I know he just wants the attention, but just enough.
Yeah. One of the strangest things he had to say is that
he's from Australia.
You know, okay, cool. I am so sorry, exist. Dead Dude. I did not mean to say you were from the UK. I never say an Australian person's from the UK. I have family in Australia. I know this for a fact. So my apologies, Dead Dude. You know, Sammy did an interview a couple of years ago where he said when he was in Van Halen, it was his band. Yeah, his words. It was my band. I was running the band.
Yeah, okay.
Like, Jesus Christ, did you invent the wheel?
He might have. He probably invented fire, too.
No, sorry, Gene beat you to that. Gene Simmons.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Screw him. Speaking of Gene Simmons, what? Too. What? Go ahead.
Nah, you know the big news that's happening this weekend.
What? Oh, well, it's the final Kiss show.
The final Kiss show, yes.
You wanted to talk about it. So, yeah, the final Kiss show. Are you going to get the pay-per-view? Because me and some guys at work are actually going to watch it.
I have no desire to hear Paul Stanley cackle. I'm sorry. I just don't. Oh,
I don't care about that.
I'm not accusing him of lip syncing, although, you know, I don't need to be the one accusing him, but I love Kiss. I do. Okay. I have a lot of their concerts on VHS, but Paul could sing then. I can't listen to Paul attempt to sing now. It's too painful.
Well, hey, if it's good.
Why are you putting the reindeer ears away?
It's actually squishing my head.
Oh.
And it was getting hot. But I don't know. I love Kiss. And yeah, some of those things that Paul does is very cringeworthy, but it's the last show, supposedly. But I think it is. It has to be, because he can't sing anymore. He can't hit those notes.
Thank God it's the final kiss show. Ha 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 from Catman. Now we know you're Peter Chris. Yeah, <right. laughs> yeah, I mean, didn't they just have like a string of cancellations in Canada because of the flu?
Yeah, Paul had the flu, but he's okay now. They just played like one or two shows, I think, since he's come back. So should be okay. Yeah.
I'm sure they refunded anyone who bought a ticket for that.
Yeah, which sucks because they were hoping to see Kiss for the final time. Now, I guess they, you know, they're not going to make, I don't think they're going to make those up. I mean, because then December 2nd,
no,
like, you know, why'd that happen?
December 2nd this weekend.
It is Saturday, 8 o'clock. Pay-per-view. Live from New York City, Madison Square Garden.
Well, it's two nights, right?
Oh, is it?
I don't know. I thought they booked two nights at the Garden.
Oh, maybe they did, but they didn't. The pay-per-view was only one night.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know.
Well, let me know how it is. I'm sure it'll be up on YouTube in no time.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. And speaking again of Kiss, tonight at 10 o'clock after this show, I will be on freeworld.fm. Write that down, freeworld.fm. Or if you want to type it in on whatever you're listening to us or watching us on, freeworld.fm. I will be doing a whole radio show, and I'm going to just do all Kiss stuff just to celebrate Kiss. So if you want to join me in that, please join me. There's also a chat in there somewhere. This website's a little confusing. It's all new. They'll figure it out eventually, and it'll be a little bit nicer, I hope. But just go there. You'll find everything. Just hit the live button. I'll be on there.
You should play our cover, the Rat Side Review and Friends cover of Unholy.
I was Reason to Live. I was going to add stuff from my covers and things like that, but I just left it Kiss.
Okay.
I'm just going to leave it all original Kiss stuff. I didn't want to get too crazy.
I hear you.
It took me a long time just to pick out the songs that I wanted to play for that show anyway. It took me like an hour and a half just to pick out a few Kiss songs.
What would you say was the album? What would you say is the album you picked the most from?
I don't know. I closed the thing. Where'd it go? Here it is. Let's see. Sonic Boom.
Really? You picked more?
No.
I didn't think so. Like, if you picked Modern Day Delilah, I'd be like, okay, I get that. That's a good one.
No. Music from the Elder, I think, maybe. Dress to Kill. Music from the Elder, I picked four songs. People don't listen to that album enough. I got to pick more songs. But
that album.
I do, too. I had to get rid of a lot of stuff, so it doesn't only be only two or three songs from there. But that is actually the one I picked the most from. And then Love Gun, I picked three. Unmasked, I had four picked. But I had to take a lot of these off. Dress to Kill. I mostly picked like two to three songs on each album. And then I even picked some like Wicked Lester songs. So if people haven't heard Wicked Lester, I picked some of those.
I'm assuming you have the Kiss box set, which is how you're playing
that. I do
that.
Have that, but I also have... I bought this a long time ago as a bootleg. The Wicked Lester Sessions.
That's funny, and it's them from the Dynasty era on the cover.
Yeah. Well, there's also stuff in here from it's got Let's Put the X in Sex on the end of it, and Christine 16, like the bonus tracks and stuff. So it's just a mix of everything on here.
You know, Let's Put the X in Sex is
terrible song.
It's a song.
I think it's the worst Kiss song ever.
You think it's the worst Kiss song? You think Read My Body's a better song?
I can't think of what that one is. What is that?
That's the rapping equivalent of Pour Some Sugar on Me that's on hit Hot in the Shade.
Probably. I don't remember that song at all.
All right, anyways. There's just one more thing I wanted to add to the Sammy Hagar argument, and that's Eddie Trunk. Now, I realize for a lot of people in the tri-state area and whoever listens to him on satellite radio, you know, they follow the gospel of Eddie Trunk, and that's fine. I followed it too at one point until I realized, you know, Eddie's musical tastes don't expand past 1989. You know, he would never give a band like Severed Angel the time of day, and he'd probably think that we don't deserve any success because we're not a quote-unquote legitimate signed act, which that's fine. That's his opinion. But, you know, the fact that he is the biggest supporter of Sammy and doesn't go out of his way to correct him on facts that are listed on the RIAA, especially like, you know, the album sales and this and that. I can't respect him for that. I don't think Sammy Hagar is a good lyricist, and I don't think he's a good singer. Is David Lee Roth the best singer in the world? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. Was he the best singer for Van Halen? In my opinion, yes, he was. So, you know, calling Sammy the best singer in Van Halen is a matter of opinion. It's not a fact.
No.
Okay? And the records show for themselves. Dave catalog, two albums. First one in 1984 outsold the four Van Hagar albums. So that's a fact.
That's a fact, Jack. All right. Before we get to the Ozzy stuff, do you have anything that you've bought or bought?
Yes. So as a birthday present from family members, thank you for the Amazon gift cards. I was able to pick the following two box sets up. And we just did a Screams from the Grave episode on this. Black Sabbath Sabotage, which is my favorite Black Sabbath album. This is the CD version, not the vinyl. If it was the vinyl, it'd be much bigger. So, you know. So this comes with the remastered from 2001, the album. A live recording from Asbury Park in 1975. Great, great concert. And that takes up two CDs. The third CD is the Am I Going Insane single, with the B-side of Hole in the Sky, which is it's on the album anyways. But it's great, though, because it comes with some awesome stuff. It comes with a reprint. Well, first you got, like, this nice, gorgeous bio book that comes along with it.
That's cool.
And it comes with a reprint of the Madison Square Garden tour program. This came on the back of it. And it's got four CDs in slip disc formation.
Slip disc.
Yeah, it sounds incredible. It really does. I would say that because I think Iommi had I think he had his hand in the digital remastering of it, and it sounds great. So I got that.
I'm bothered by the slip case.
Why?
Because the CD will get scratched every time we take it in and out of there.
Well, I've already ripped it to my MacBook, so I'm not taking them out of here anymore.
Still. I hate those things.
That's okay. Yeah, listen, I like I said, I already
especially
ripped
for the price that you pay for that fucking thing. It should be at least maybe a digipack. I mean, I know people hate digipacks, but at least that.
I'm not complaining because, like I said, I was just going to rip them once and never take them out again. But I'm just happy to have the physical product. And
hold on. Shut up. I'm still talking, for Christ's sakes.
Okay, talk.
I did another podcast not that long ago with a guy. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I'll find out in a minute.
Mark Alvin Taylor.
No, I'm not going on his show. I hate that guy. No, I don't. I'm really kidding. God, what the hell's the name of that show? It doesn't matter. I'll say it in a minute. I'll find it out. So anyway, he collects CDs. He's like me. He's always buying CDs. But he has a thing where he will only buy CDs if they're in jewel cases. He does have some digipacks, but the funny thing is he doesn't put the digipack ones with his collection. He puts them in the closet. So if he does find a CD, he replaces it. So I can imagine if he bought those box sets and sort of slip cases and was like, oh my God, what am I going to do with this?
I mean, you know, it would have been great if it was just available on streaming media, but they're not.
Right.
So this was the only way I could get them. You know, this was the only way I could get the live stuff.
Yeah, no, I'm just busting your balls. And his name is Alex. I can't pronounce his last name. It's very hard. Alex Abushan.
Is that the CD Collector Show?
The CD Collectors Podcast, yes.
That's what it's called. Okay, cool. I'd love to go on that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I'll tell him about you, maybe.
Yeah, because that's all I get is CDs. And the second thing I bought, being that it was affordable, because I'm not spending $200 on the Paranoid Super Deluxe, nor am I spending $150 on the Volume 4 Super Deluxe, although I did find that one cheap. I got the Technical Ecstasy box set of Black Sabbath. Very and cool. CDs 2 and 3 were remixed by Porcupine Tree's Steven Wilson.
Ah.
And I gotta admit, they sound great. And the remastered album sounds great. And it, you know, a lot of people say it sounds, it's the weakest sounding Sabbath album. Not anymore. Whatever they did to this, I think, will make a believer out of anyone who lost faith in them around this time. You know?
What's the I mean, first song Ted, what's the first
what's
song?
That?
What's the first song?
Oh, Backstreet Kids.
Okay.
but this is the album that has Dirty Women on it, so which right, was right. A mainstay for
I thought that album sounds really era. Good. I don't know why people say it's weak. It sounds
Because it's the lightest sounding of all the Sabbath albums.
But it still sounds strong, I thought.
I think the songs are great, and you know, there's only so much doom and gloom you can do before you get experimentative to try to, you know, ask yourself, am I still as good as I was? You know, I mean, look at it this way. If you release the same material over and over again, if it gets to a point where it becomes disingenuous, this album, in my opinion, Technical Ecstasy, is good experimentation. And the fourth CD on here is a live disc from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And, you know, this band was on fire in the 70s. I mean, it sounded great. You know, this is back when Ozzy could still sing in pitch. Not in tune, in pitch.
He sings in pitch now.
Moving right along. Yeah, I mean, I love this, and I'm very happy to have it. I'm going to get a copy of this for my brother for his birthday. So
cool, very cool. Catman, I have a version of Sabotage's, a Sabotage that's apparently a little rare. It has live sweet leaf on it. By the way, who the hell smokes the leaves? No wonder he's coughing.
Spot on, Catman from Dead Dude. Almost my favorite. And Catman salute. So I guess we made friends out of Catman and Dead Dude.
Oh, that's Catman's good. On here all the time. My thing is always lighting up with notifications. And every time I check it, it's Catman. And he's always watching the King Diamond videos. And he's always got comments, which is cool. I love all the comments. So keep them up.
Yeah, Catman's cool. I like him. Yeah,
Dead Man's not too bad either, even though he's from Australia. But he's got...
Hey, I have family in Melbourne.
He's got Sabotage on vinyl.
So, oh, very cool.
That's very cool.
Now, I don't have a record player, so...
Gotta get you one. Know, all the kids are getting them now.
CDs are going to get one. All the kids... I have a five-year-old daughter. She destroys everything she touches. So.
I you know what? I had one when I was younger. I have one now. I have like three of them now.
What, daughters?
No.
Oh, record players. Okay.
And when I was younger, I started getting into Led Zeppelin, and my mother had the records. So we had a record player, so I put them on the record player. So my brother would just start jumping on the ground, on the floor. And, of course, it would just make the needle skip and skip all the time throughout the whole entire record. So at some point, the record just has scratches all over it, and it skips all over the place. I actually still have that record. And I haven't. You know,
so your brother was the first hip-hop DJ of Long Island, is what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much. So after that, I was always afraid to, like, get records ever again because it's so easy just to scratch them. But over the last few years, I started getting into them again. And, you know, nobody comes down here, but I got a good record player now. You can jump on the floor all you want and it won't move. But that's one reason why I was always afraid to get the record player.
Well, let me ask you, as a fellow audiophile, do you find the sound on record to be superior to that on CD?
It really depends on the album.
What do you mean by that?
Some albums sound better on record than they do on CD, and some sound better on CD. Like, I don't know. And even some, and people hate that I say this, so like Halloween, because I used to listen to that all the time on cassette. And maybe it's just because I'm used to that sound of the cassette in my head, but it sounds better on that cassette more than it does on CD or vinyl.
I heard Infosystemum from Ghost sounds better on record than it does on CD.
Really?
And I think we discussed this because Nick Vrak, whoever produced the last couple of Rush albums, produced, I can't pronounce his last name.
We got a problem with name.
He produced it, and... You know, from what I heard, that record suffered with the loudness war.
Yes.
When it came to the mastering on CD, mm-hmm. But on record, it sounds more full. From what I heard.
Yeah, there's another Ghost record. I think it's the album before that. And I
Opus Eponymous.
Yeah, no. Maybe it is this infestus. Yes, I think it. Yeah, right, you're right. You're right. It said the record sounds terrible. Well, my record does, but anyway, because I put it on and it still has the loudness on it on the record, actually, because I can hear like crackling in certain spots, especially on like the first few songs. So like I said, it really depends. Like I was listening to one of the Dio albums, and I thought that one sounded really good, better than the CD. It really depends. Especially like the newer stuff too. A lot of newer stuff, it's all made digitally, and then they just put it to the records, and it just doesn't sound as good, you know?
Yeah.
It's not
Well,
made
I will say
digitally.
this though. The Seven Angel album was recorded digitally and it sounds great.
Yeah, it does. It sounds awesome, no matter what way you listen to it. Catman, I think the graveyard sounds better on vinyl. What's your thoughts? I don't know. Ghost sounds terrible on everything. Yes. No, they don't, dude. Get the
Dead dude, we do not call Ghost a metal band. They are a rock band. So
By
we're
the
not
way,
like.
dead dude, Severed Angel, our band, covered a Ghost song. So go check that out and let us know what you think about that. Because even though you hate Ghost, let us know how you feel about how we did that cover.
And Greg hates Ghosts and he liked that cover.
Yeah. All right, let me get to my purchases, and then we can get the hell out of here. Heavy Metal Museum. Anybody's ever heard of Heavy Metal Museum? Go check that out. Heavymetalmuseum.com or Heavy Metal Museum on eBay. It sells a lot of CDs, a lot of records and stuff like that. I got this band here. I really never heard of them, but they're a gothic band called Morticia. They reissued these CDs, Mortal Fear, DOA, and 13 Nightmares. Really cool band. I was watching some of their videos, and they're just cool. They look kind of corny because it's, all 80s, and they're all dressed up as goths and stuff, but camera's not focusing there. But really
So
cool.
like, so they're from the 80s.
They're from the 80s. Oh yeah, definitely. Cool
Wow,
stuff. Cool
okay.
stuff. And I think somebody died from this band. I don't know how. I think maybe somebody had a car accident or something. I don't know. I don't know nothing about that band, but I know somebody died, and that was the end of the band. Memento Mori, Rhymes of Lunacy. What is this? Life, Death, and Other Morbid Tales. And I guess that's just one. Memento Mori. I haven't. I listened to this one. This one's really good. Rhymes of Lunacy is really, really good. I gotta listen to these two. These are very hard to find, and these finally just got reissued through who the hell re Hellion Records. So thank God to them.
For fans of Candlemass.
Yeah. Candlemass, King Diamond, because Snowy Shore's on here, Mike Weed's on here. Somebody else is on this band. I can't remember who it was.
They do a great cover of Michael Schenker Group's Lost Horizons. I do like that cover a lot.
Yeah, some really, really good shit. What else do I got? Alcatraz, I already showed you. I know a lot of people hate this band, but Dragon Force. I got that the other
Oh
day.
my God, that looks like such a cool album cover.
It's a slipcase. That's why I bought it. I thought it looked pretty good. I didn't have his album, so I saw this and I thought it was pretty cool.
Nice. It looks like an old school Nintendo game.
I think that's cool. And the band Midnight. What the hell is this? Shocks of Violence and Complete and Total Hell.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, really, really cool. They actually opened up for Merciful Fate last year when I saw them. And they were
Okay.
really good. I bought one of the records at the show. Nobody was at the table, and they had like the most reasonably priced merchandise there, because that's when we were having all that merchandise problem with the band's merch was like ridiculous prices.
Right. $45 for a t-shirt.
Yeah, no, they were normal prices, so I bought them from them. And hey, that band's smaller, so they needed the money, But they've been around for a pretty long time. And last but not least, two Gwar records. These were actually $10. Ragnarok and This Toilet Earth.
Total $10.
Well, $10 each.
Okay, original pressings?
No, these are reissues.
Okay,
Oh,
cool.
if these even came out on vinyl, I don't know. These came out in like the 90s, so I don't.
Yeah, 94,
95 and
95.
94. So I don't know if they were even on vinyl.
Not the best Gwar albums, but there's some great songs on both of them.
These are probably my third favorites, third and fourth favorites.
Okay. I mean, I love
Third.
War Ghoul off of Ragnarok. That's a great one. And This Toilet Earth has some
Meat
great
Sandwich,
songs.
come on, A New Plague. That's a freaking awesome
No, I
song.
love Meat Sandwich, but War Ghoul is my favorite song on the record.
It is a good song.
Fine. Fine, I'll say my second favorite song is "Think You Ought to Know This," the song
Think it.
sung by Sleazy P. Martini.
Yeah, that song is awesome. But a lot of really cool shit. So I had to buy those. Anything
the
fact else?
That he had to rhyme the word halitosis in it is pretty good.
Anything else?
Trying to think. So we mentioned that Alcatraz is coming on March 30th. Apparently, Armored Saint is going to go on the road with Queensryche in the spring. So that's pretty cool news.
Queensryche's doing a whole like the warning, right? Is it the warning?
And the original EP.
So that'd be pretty cool.
Oh, there's one thing I want to drop. Go to the No Remorse Records YouTube page. My friend Mark Emmy Edwards, his band Overlord just released their new lyric video. So if you're into traditional heavy metal, you're going to love it. These guys were around from the 80s. They only have one studio album that was released by Sonic Age Records, which was Return of the Snow Giant back in 2005. Great record. Our friend Bobby Leatherlungs Lucas is the singer on that album. Mr. Leatherlungs. And now they have a new album coming out next year. And, you know, Mark, open invitation for you and the guys to come on Ratside Review.
Yeah, come on. And speaking of Bobby Leatherlungs, he's working on the next Attacker album. He's going to lay the vocals down in a couple days. So that'd be really cool. Catman, talking about the band Midnight. Weren't they wearing cloaks? He saw that too. They were good. So was Creator. Yes, they were wearing cloaks. And it was like a half-naked chick dancing around on stage too. So that was fun.
Nice. Sort of like the last Phoenix Rain show at Castle Heights.
Yeah, pretty much. It's not as good. All right, let's get into what this show is actually supposed to be about. Unfortunately, Ozzy, Black Rain, and Ozzy Scream, which when I want to listen to both of these albums, they make me want to scream
in a good way or a bad way.
In a bad way. God damn. Like I mentioned, I think it was last week, I bought both of these. This came out first, this stupid slipcase thing, and it looks like a cheap promo, and I'm like, this is garbage. This is what he's going to release. This is like stupid. There's no lyrics in here, no nothing. And then a little while later, I found out that he re-released it, or had a different version of it with this cover, and it's got the stuff in there and everything, lyrics or whatever. So that's cool. The cover's cool. I like the cover on this album, but the music inside sucks. Zach Wilde's still in the band. I don't know who else is in the band. Do you know?
I think this is when Tommy Clufetos joined. And I think by this point, Blasco from Rob Zombie was his bassist.
You're wrong. Actually, Mike Borden, well, as far as it says here, Mike Borden is on drums. Blasco is in the, sorry, he's on bass. And Zach Wilde, guitars and keyboards, and Ozzy on vocals, obviously.
Okay, so Ozzy did not steal Tommy Clufetos from Rob Zombie yet by this point.
No, he
very
did
good.
Not steal him by this point. Actually, I didn't realize Mike Borden was on this album, but what a shame, because this album is just terrible. I mean, this is like, we were talking in the chat before, I'm listening to this, and it's just like Ozzy is not metal no more. This is like hip-hop Ozzy, in a way. He's got more of like a rapping type kind of vocal thing going on. Even the music is, it's all electronics, and it's just, it's not Ozzy. It's not what I want to hear.
See, it's funny you saying it as a hip hop influence. I think he's trying to go for more of like the industrial type sound of Marilyn Manson and Rob Zombie were at the time, which is funny because Ozzy influenced those records, those bands.
Right.
And now they're influencing him. And, you know, this is always the problem that you face with outside writers or, you know, producers who know what it takes to sell records. But what suffers as a result of that? The artistic integrity. But then again, I forgot, we're talking about Ozzy. Does he write his own lyrics? Barely.
Barely.
You know?
No, no. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. I like that song, I Don't Want to Stop. That one's okay. But it's just very repetitive. Like, these lyrics don't go anywhere. The music is just repetitive, like annoyingly repetitive. There's nothing like memorable about any of this stuff. At all.
No. And I saw this tour.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Well, you know, it was at Madison Square Garden. It was Merry Mayhem 2007. So it was, I know in this moment, was one of the opening acts. I forgot if there was another one. I forget who it was, and I'm not about to go on setlist.fm to check out. But, you know, the ironic thing is, which era of Ozzy did they mostly concentrate on for the live show? The Randy era.
Right, of course.
Which goes to show you there was really no confidence built on this record. It seems like Ozzy, when he releases new music, it's never to really tour behind it. Maybe play one or two songs, but he really wants to focus on the songs that he plays to death. You know, Crazy Train, I Don't Know, Suicide Solution, you know, and deep cuts from the, not even deep cuts. You know, Paranoid is not a deep cut from Sabbath. That's one of their most well-known songs.
Right.
So, you know, it's, but it was a good show, but I really didn't like the record. It's funny, you say you liked I Don't Want to Stop. I prefer the first song on the album, Not Going Away. Like, I actually enjoyed that one.
That song's okay, too. It's okay.
But then after those two songs, the album just falls flat with me. Like, it's just, you're right, it goes nowhere. It's Ozzy by numbers. Mm-hmm. And the numbers aren't even good. You know, it's just, I mean, I wish I could say it was Ozzy for the sake of being Ozzy, but that would have made it a better album. This is just Ozzy, you know, saying, all right, what songs do we have? All right, we're done. It's blah. It's just blah to me.
What do you think? Because I've seen this a few times that people are saying that actually Ozzy isn't even singing. And there's some guy that does such a good impersonation of Ozzy. It's that guy. I can't think of who the person is, but do you think that could be a possibility?
No. I mean, I know his vocals live are incredibly processed.
Yeah.
And that he tours with a backup singer off stage that you can't see. At one point, his backup singer was Robert Mason, who used to sing in Lynch Mob, who now sings with Warrant. So he was his backup singer for a while, which is funny because I never thought Robert Mason sounded like Ozzy. But, you know, at this point, auto-tune was becoming a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if Ozzy was off pitch or whatever or off time, you know, fix it in post.
Yeah.
So, no, I think it's genuinely him, but it's still a bad album. It's just,
it's just so bad. It just, you know, can't think of anything else that's on there that's good. There isn't. I'm sorry. Dude said, if Ozzy does another album, how bad could it be? Oh, it could be bad. But actually, I'm not gonna say, like, Patient Number 9. We'll get to that and the album before that. There are some decent songs in there where I thought maybe we had some hope of there actually being a good Ozzy full album at some point. Because even on Patient Number 9, he had so many guests coming on that album. A lot of really cool ones, too. You know, and I thought.
Yeah, he had Jeff Beck. He had Iommi. He had Clapton.
Yeah, a lot of really cool people on there. So there are some decent songs in there, but we'll get to that hopefully next week. But yeah, do you see him ever doing another album? I mean, he's kind of shot.
I saw Ozzy because his podcast with his kids and Sharon show up in my shorts reels. I know I've been bashing the music, and I bash a lot of the business tactics of the family. But Ozzy's the lead singer of my favorite band of all time. And he's, you know, he released my second favorite album of all time.
13.
So I still have love for the man. Which one?
13.
No, fuck 13. Diary of a Madman. So, like, I still can't help but feel love for the guy because of, you know, the music that he's that he's given us. And, you know, I felt so bad for him. You know, I mean, like, I didn't realize that ATV accident that he had in 2003 would come back to haunt him as much as it did.
Yeah,
you know, where it's like, you know, now his back's all messed up. He needs, you know, when he's standing, he needs something to help prop him up. Because most of the time when I see him now, he's always sitting.
Yeah.
You know, it's just.
When I saw that video of him walking, like a few months ago, whatever. He was walking down the sidewalk or whatever, wherever he was walking, and he looked like a zombie. I was just like, God damn, it's he's done.
I want him to just enjoy his glory years. Mm. All right. He's given us enough good music to last a lifetime.
Are you do you think that we'll see a zombie Ozzy?
Well, I'll tell you one thing. I wasn't too crazy about the Dio hologram.
Yeah.
So I'm glad Wendy Dio put the kibosh on that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Sharon tried to milk that. I would not be surprised.
I guess we'll have to wait and see. If they do it, I'm going to scream. Another terrible album, but not as bad. Not as bad as Black Rain. There are two good songs on here, maybe. Let Me Hear You Scream, I think, is a really good one. And I don't remember what the other one was. It really doesn't matter because it's just almost just as bad. And how you mentioned Rob Zombie influence, I think it's more on this album than on Black Rain. And again, there's still like some kind of hip hop thing going on. And I wish he would stop with that. It doesn't work with Ozzy. And being Rob Zombie doesn't work with Ozzy either. He, like you mentioned, he started that. And Rob Zombie took it to another level and made it his own thing. And now Ozzy's doing it, and it just don't sound right. I don't want to hear Rob Ozzy. I want to hear Ozzy Osbourne. And having Gus G on that album, I thought, all right, we're going to go back to like Randy Rhoads stuff. And we didn't. We didn't get any of that. You know, and you just
well, he didn't write any of the material.
He didn't. No, he didn't. But I thought he would have some kind of influence on something, but it was already done by the time he came in there.
Yeah. But I'm going to respectfully disagree with you. I think Scream is the best album that he's released since The Ultimate Sin. I enjoyed the hell out of this album.
You're fired.
What's that? I'm fired. I'm back.
Well, that's not shocking to me because actually Ralph Vieira, he said this is his, like, out of the newer albums, this is his one of his favorites.
Yeah,
he does like this one. I don't see how.
Like, No More Tears had some great songs on it, although, you know, it had a couple of throwaway songs.
Mm-hmm.
So when I make like playlists of Ozzy, there's a select few off No More Tears that I put on. With this one, I think with the exception of I Love You All, I'll actually throw on the entire record. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that one of my favorite songs on this, and it might be my favorite, would happen to be Latimer's Mercy. You know, it's riff-oriented Ozzy. Granted, it does sound comparable to what was going on with like Rob Zombie and Manson. Again, two guys that Ozzy influenced. So it's weird to see him influenced by them. But this time I thought he did it right. The riffs sound killer. The guitar playing sounds killer. I'm happy with the production on it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, you know, by me saying this, does this mean that I hate Zakk Wylde? I don't hate Zakk Wylde. I just, you know, like I said, I gave him his props when I saw him with the Pantera Legacy Tour this summer with Metallica. Zakk did a phenomenal job honoring Dimebag.
Yeah.
But as far as Ozzy guitarists are concerned, he's not my favorite. He's you know, it's for me, it's Randy, it's Jake, it's Gus G. I give Joel Holmes credit because I seen that live footage that that Ozzy did with him, and he sounds superb on it. And then Zakk. That's just personal preference.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not too crazy about Zach's guitar tone. And the Zakk constant tried to, use of pinch harmonics.
Yeah, that gets annoying after a while. And he also had Ozzy almost kind of sounding like his own band.
Did sound like Black Label.
Black Label Society a little bit. So it was getting a little bit like, all right, you know, what are you trying to do here?
Yeah, I'm not saying Zakk Wylde's a bad guitarist. I mean, he's just not for me. You know, obviously there's a whole list of people out there that love him and admire him, and that's great. I'm not taking anything away from him. It's just it doesn't do anything for me. Yeah. Gus G and his performance on this album did more for me. You know, and I'm not saying that because I'm biased, because he's a fellow Greek.
He didn't do all those squeals. Digging Me Down was another song that I actually liked on this song. I like that
okay.
whole bass thing that they're going on there.
Even Life Won't Wait, I thought was like a better, softer Ozzy song than Dreamer or So Tired. And the only one that's better than that is Tonight off Diary. But, you know, it's melodic, soft Ozzy that I enjoyed hearing.
Yeah. Yeah. I wish I could say it's better, but maybe if I listen to it again later on, you know, maybe I'll like it a little bit more. But I've listened to this a few times and it's just, I don't know, it just don't click. It's just, you know what it is? And I mentioned this in our chat too. It's like kind of like David Bowie. His first few albums with his band were awesome. Then he started getting to like Nine Inch Nails, and then he wanted to be Nine Inch Nails, and then he just was all over the place, you know, and it just didn't work for him. For me, anyway. I didn't think a lot of the stuff that he did, experimental stuff, it just didn't work. And that's what Ozzy's been doing, and it just, I don't like it. I hate it.
So you're not a fan of that Little Wonder, I'm Afraid of Americans era Bowie?
Oh my God, no.
Okay.
Oof, that's terrible.
It's different. I mean, the 90s were a dark time for a lot of people.
They were. But I don't know. I listened to a lot of better stuff in the 90s than that crap. I couldn't stand it. And I still can't. I still don't like that stuff.
But
I don't
want
to hear Ozzy doing that either.
But I have to say, of like the last six albums from No Rest for the Wicked up until now, Scream is the one that I have the most affection for.
Okay. Okay, all right. It would have been nice to hear what Greg had to say, but he's not here. And Dead Dude, he said he's mentioned it, and I'm going to assume that means Ozzy has mentioned about doing a new album. Hey, if he does, he does. But I just hope it's good. And if it's his final one, let's just make this like the best Ozzy album ever. It won't happen, but let's see.
Yeah. I mean, have you heard some of the stuff that he's been saying in the media lately?
No.
You know, he's saying with his condition and his illness, he says he probably has 10 more years before he buys the farm. And I'm just like, why are you putting a timestamp on it, Ozzy? Let's just enjoy. You know, I don't want him to release another album unless it'll give him something to look forward to. Hmm. You know, he doesn't have the tour behind it. You know, just if doing a new album will give him joy, then go for it. I hope it's just good. Yeah. But, you know, if all we get out of him now is this podcast that he does with Jack Kelly and Sharon, I'm okay with that too. You know, because it keeps him out there. It keeps his name fresh. And listen, he's hilarious. You know, I love British humor, and he's got it down. You know, he's very funny. Although I hope before they both go, that him and Geezer Butler could work out their differences.
He's got a whole thing with him now too. Upset with Geezer that he didn't call him and talk to him. But Geezer said he rebutted. I didn't read it, but apparently he probably did or whatever. Probably Sharon probably blocked his number or something.
And according to Ozzy, he said that the dispute was between Sharon and Gloria Osborne, Geezer's wife and manager. But I'm like, yeah, but Ozzy, I just want to tell him, but you realize that, you know, when your wife's your manager, they wear the pants. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's rough.
It sucks. But, you know, he's been married with her for, God, how many years now? Ever since
41 years at this point.
Yeah, so it's fucking long. What is he going to do now? You know? I don't know.
But I'm very happy with Scream. And, you know, once again, given the opportunity to interview Gus G was great. And
yeah,
I'm very proud that Blabbermouth.
they did do a thing on it. But if anybody hasn't seen Lou's interview with Gus G, go look it up. It's on Rat Sale Review. It's only like
probably one of my best
ago.
Interviews yet.
Was it like a month or two? Maybe 2 months now.
I think Firewind's album was dropping around September. That's when they were doing press for it. So it's about a month or two ago. So it's fairly new.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to talk to him about, you know, his career, his, you know, I actually, to quote Catman, I was actually talking with him about technical jargon about guitar, which was great because he was lit up about that. And, you know, I also asked him, what was it like doing the Paul Di'Anno shows in Greece? And I kind of pointed out one fact that he was like, oh, wow, you're right. I said, Gus G is the only guitarist in history that could say that he's played with the original lead singers of both Black Sabbath and Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty cool achievement.
Yeah. August 7th was your interview. So we'll look that up.
All right. So it was 3 months ago.
Yeah. Didn't seem that long ago. But
felt like just yesterday.
Yeah. But,
but I guess we got some traction on Blabbermouth from that too. So that was cool.
Yeah. Every once in a while we get on there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, guys, for watching. That's just our little chat about Screaming Black Rain. So go check those albums out if you haven't heard them. I bet there's a ton of stuff ready to be released when he does go. God forbid, the dude says. I'm sure there's going to be so much stuff, but will Sharon let it out? You know, Bob Daisley has that stuff that he wants to put out, and they keep saying that it's no good. It sounds like crap, and he says it don't, and there's proof of it on the internet that it doesn't sound bad, so... Who knows?
Man, that Daisley Osborne war will never die.
No. So hopefully we do get some kind of stuff. I'm really surprised that he hasn't put out some kind of, you know, expensive box sets like everybody's been doing lately. But I don't know. I guess we'll see. They're holding out on us.
Probably. But until then, you know, big shout out to Tony Iommi for working on these super deluxe editions of the Black Sabbath back catalog, because it's coming out great. You know, supposedly sometime in the near future, we're supposed to hear remastered and revamped editions of The Headless Cross and even Forbidden.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what that sounds like.
Yeah, we'll see how that sounds like.
I might actually buy that one.
Which one, Headless Cross or Forbidden?
Forbidden. I have Headless Cross. I have everything.
Well, I'm not buying 13 anytime soon.
I have that too. So, all right, I guess that's it.
Yeah, this was a quick episode.
No, we've been doing this for an hour. So that was the quick episode on Ozzy, because those albums really don't deserve much, unfortunately.
I liked Scream.
Would you like Scream? And I like ice cream. So on that note.
So do I.
Yeah, ice cream's good. On that note, go to severedangel.bandcamp.com and go buy our CD. And if you want, yeah, you can even listen to the songs before you buy it. If you don't like the songs, then don't buy it. But if you like us, buy the album because you like us. And
we just sold 2 copies of it recently, so I got to send those out tomorrow.
Oh, 2 more.
One was from the Meister.
Yes.
Victor.
Yep. And one's from
and Brandon. We bought another one was sold recently, so I gotta send them out tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Sorry it's taking me a while, but I'll get to them, promise.
I'll talk to you about the one first before you do that, but never mind. What else is there? On here on YouTube we have tiers. If you guys want to join, it's like a couple dollars or whatever to do certain tiers. You can tell us what kind of shows you want on. If you pick a certain tier, you could join us on one of these shows. I don't know how you find it. It's got to be on here somewhere. I just did it like last week, so I don't know all about it yet, but I'm sure on there somewhere it says join Rat Sal Review and look all that stuff up. It'll be fun. You guys want to tell us what to talk about, what albums to talk about? You want to join us on something? I don't know what other things I picked, but check them out, and maybe you can join us. It'd be a lot of fun to have you guys involved. So that's it.
Well, there's one more thing I wanted to mention.
What?
So when you started Rat Sal Review many moons ago,
yes, and you know, the purpose.
You know, the purpose of it was to be an outlet for up and coming bands in the world of hard rock, metal, and whatever have you, to come onto our platform to promote their stuff. And, you know, we still stand by that, you know, that we, as members of the band Severed Angel, we make it a point to promote bands that we like. We do the same thing on this podcast. Lately we have been talking more about albums that have been out for a very long time, revisiting them, talking about them, and talking about some of the classic artists. And we love doing that stuff too. But the truth of the matter is that, there's a whole world out there of up and coming bands that we have yet to tap the surface for. So I'm just extending this invitation out there that if you have music that you want to promote and you think we'll like it and like it enough that we want to have you on the show to talk about it, contact us. We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, we're on TikTok. Contact us. We love promoting new stuff. And like I said, we love the stuff that we grew up on, but we're not old fogies to the point where it's like, anything past a certain year is irrelevant. If you got something out there that's a value, we want to hear it because Wayne and I think Severn Angel is a value. We're getting ready to release a second album this spring. So obviously we love new music because we're out there doing it ourselves too. So we want to hear you guys as well.
That's right. And you can also go to ratsalreview.com and there's a thing on there where you can send us an email. That's if you can't find us on social media. So do that.
Absolutely.
Yep. And follow us, hit subscribe on YouTube or on any kind of podcasting platform that you're listening to us on. I for some reason we're still pretty big on Pandora. I didn't think people still listen to Pandora, but
I don't even listen to Pandora. That's amazing. Okay.
that's
Are
what
we
we do.
still on Podbean?
Apparently we're on Podbean. I didn't put us on there, but we're on there.
All right. Cool.
I don't pay for it, so I don't know. But we're on there.
Shh. Let's not say anything.
They don't tell them. Don't tell them at all. Don't tell them nothing. But yeah. And we're doing pretty good on Spotify as well. So we're on Spotify. We're on everything. So just find us and let us know. Yeah, Pandora. 28.8% is Pandora listeners. Thank you, Pandora
Oh, dear
listeners.
God. I didn't know you still exist. Thank you.
Yes, thank you for listening. And looks like mostly the older people from 49 to 59 age bracket are listening to us, but there are some younger people out there as well. So thank you, younger people, and thank you, older people as well, for listening to us. And some females are listening to us too. That has jumped up as well. So welcome,
Ooh, it's a
females.
lady.
Welcome, all ladies, and welcome, all you gentlemen, to Rat Sal Review. And thank you all for watching and listening. And again, please hit that subscribe button. Let us know what you think about the shows. Comment in the chats. Join us every Wednesday. Well, mostly every Wednesday nights at 8 o'clock Eastern PM. And yeah, we will see you again next week with another two Ozzy albums. Actually, the last two Ozzy albums, Ordinary Man and Patient Number Nine.
Yep. Not looking forward to this one, but
Can't wait.
let's do it.
All right. Thanks again, guys, for watching. See you then. And oh, don't forget to join me. Freeworld.fm, 10 p.m. Eastern. Join me on there. We're going to be doing a lot of KISS stuff. See you then. Bye.
Demone.